Next, we have Mei Yuan, who is an associate professor of the School of Education in the Minchu Education. She has led many research projects for Minchu and intercultural education, and Minchu means the minority, and has also been a recipient of many awards for her contribution to minority education. She has also published many articles on a Minchu education and internationalization in top of international journals, I mean, in the international journals. So we welcome Mei Mei to your talk. And her topic today is education for emergencies with Chinese characteristics, multifaceted support in Minchu areas under the COVID-19 crisis. Welcome.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Heidi. I'll share my screen. Okay.
Thank
okay.
You. Welcome.
Hello, everyone. I'm Mei Yuan from Minzu University of China. Thanks very much for Dr. Heidi Laney's invitation. And I'm so happy to be here to share my topic, Education for Emergencies with Chinese Characteristic, Multifaceted Support in Minzu Areas Under the COVID-19 Crisis. Actually, before this, I have been thinking where I am located in the world map. I'm in Global South or North. Actually, I'm a little confused. From my knowledge, this is, for example, the map. China is located here. So I don't think I'm in the Global South. And who decided this? So it's very interesting. Anyway, today my topic will contains three parts: Minzu background in China, support for Minzu schools in emergencies, and Chinese characteristic. Minzu background in China. First of all, I want to introduce what is Minzu in China. Minzu refers to many and variety ethnic group in that composed China. It's important to know that at this stage, that Chinese Minzu group as products of ethnic classification project started in China in 1953 and finished in 1990. 56 Minzu group identities and memberships are officially recognized by the Chinese state today. Minzu status appears on people's identity documents, ID, and depends on their parents' own status. In many cases, some minority groups are socioeconomically, culturally, linguistically, and ethnically different from majority Han Chinese. Different Minzu groups are scattered in different territories of the country, with many concentrate on border regions with, for example, Kazakhstan, Korea, Mongolia, and Russia, and so on. So according to the 7th National Conference two years ago, 2020, the Han Minzu account for more than 91% of population. The other 55 other Minzu groups account for nearly 9%. There are five professional level ethnic autonomous regions. For example, in the Mongolian autonomous region located in the north, and Xinjiang Uyghur autonomous region located also in north, and Guangxi Zhuang autonomous region located in south of China, and Ningxia Hui autonomous region located in north of China, also Tibetan autonomous region located in the north of China. So ethnic minorities are not a lot of homogeneous people. The difference within ethnic minorities should not be ignored as well. It's also very important to note that some Minzu group have different first languages on top of the common Chinese language. We call it Putonghua. For example, according to the constitution and law of the People's Republic of China, all Minzus are identified to use and develop their own spoken and written languages. For example, in Xinjiang, while carrying on carry out the teaching standard of the Chinese, Xinjiang also provide Uyghur, Kazakh, Mongolian, Sibo, and other languages courses at primary and secondary schools. So now I'll talk about the support. I think there are four kinds of support for the schools in Minzhu areas in China during the pandemic crisis. The first one is infrastructure and technology access. And the second one is teaching professional development and training. And the third one is the changed role of parents or extended families also helped a lot. And the last one is the use of informal educational places. For example, the first one, infrastructure and technology accesses. We have a lot of, we have some policies related to this since the beginning of the crisis. For example, the Ministry of Education issued the upgrade free online learning platform for students. And this example in at the early beginning in Ningxia, Hui Autonomous Region, this is the online support for students and the teacher, support online for the teaching and study. And for example, we also use that a lot of a platform. For example, the WeChat, this is very, very popular and convenient in China today. The students and teachers can, and the parents can use a platform of communication between teachers and the parents. WeChat, I'm not sure if you're familiar it or not. Actually, it's similar to the, WhatsApp in the West. It's very popular and convenient. For example, every day, as long as you have a phone, download a WeChat app, you can use it to buy everything, no need to use the cash anymore. And also, we use the Tencent and DingTalk, this kind of platform of having live lectures, live lectures, like the Teams and Zooms, similar like us now. And for example, the students and the teachers, they can communicate in the WeChat group, and the parents can send the students assignment to show the teachers in the group, WeChat group. And also the teachers can send assignment to the parents and children and to communicate about their performance and any problems they need to solve. For example, this is online live students and the teacher talking, communicate about their knowledge studies in when they are at home. And besides this, second one is about teaching professional development and training. Also, there are some policies to support to guarantee this kind of things to happen. This helped the teacher to master the use of selected platforms and improve the application ability of information technology through the e-learning. And also we have a lot of platform, for example, e-course and the Chaoxing Teacher Professional Development. For there are a lot of useful and efficient resources for the teacher for to reference. And another important, interesting part is the role of the parents' extended family. For the, in my thinking and observation, I think the traditional role of the parents play in China, for example, maybe they are the guardians, in terms of the law, a prospective law, and maybe they are the model. They try to, show the example which the children should follow. Maybe they are a guide, lead the children to do what they think is right. Maybe they are, the boss, ask the students to do this or to do that. Or maybe they are nanny, take care of their daily life. But during the pandemic time, I think their roles exchanged. Also, extended family, it means that not just the parents, also the grandparents or aunt, very close relatives in the big family. And the, however, I think the especially beside the traditional roles, the parents became companion, more like, you know, supervisor or friend, accompanying them to study online or help the students to improve study like a teacher. And it's very interesting. Actually, last year in July, the Minister of Education issued a policy we called double reduction policy, try to reduce the homework and reduce the time they spent, the students spent in extracurricular classes or after school private training. I think actually this kind of experience can help the policy into practice more easily. And another important aspect, I think the informal educational places, for example, the bookstore, the cafe, library, museum. I think actually these are quite important at this moment. For example, this is my niece in Inner Mongolian. During the pandemic moment, they enjoyed so much to study in the bookstore, in cafe, sometimes to visit some museum and library. And in terms of the last part, actually, the Chinese characteristic, I just want to summarize three key words to summarize what we did during the whole, crisis time. First, I want to say the localization. It means that according to the concrete context, find the appropriate ways. For example, using the means of resources, places, customers, and sector one's diversity, considering 40 different backgrounds to Minzu culture and Minzu students and Minzu students' different, you know, habits and others. And the last one is fluent. It means adjusting matters to local conditions. I'm thinking all the aims, what we did, the aims is just to together for a shared future, like the Winter Olympic Game concept. We want to, you know, to be equate, inclusive, social economic justice, access to wealth to everywhere in China, especially for the, you know, Minzu areas. This is my topic. Thank you so much. That's all.